Galatians chapter 4, and I'll start reading at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given unto me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks this day. We thank you for a wonderful salvation. We thank you for the word of God in our hands. We thank you for the opportunity to live in a free country and preach. We thank you, Lord, for all that's been bought for us and given to us and that we reside in the blessings of your grace and mercy. I ask you, Father, you touch every heart and life that hears this message and give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. We'll give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. He says in verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, I want to emphasize again, God's never late. So many times we think God's late. He's late according to our timetable. He's late according to our clock. We are very impatient. We want God to answer our prayers immediately. We want our pain to be over immediately. We want our troubles to be over immediately. And when God doesn't answer immediately, we get upset with God. Now, I can imagine an awful lot of prophets and people throughout the years were saying, when is God going to do something? I mean, the Jews cried for 400 years in Egypt. When is God going to do something? You think because God doesn't do it on your time schedule that God's late, but God is never late. Somebody once said, and they thought there was a real cute statement, some preacher making a cute statement, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God's never going to have to apologize to anybody. God hadn't made any mistakes. So God can judge America. God cannot judge America. Whatever he does, it'll be right. You don't set up the standard to judge God by. God's not in your image. When the fullness of time was come, when God was ready, and it was the exact perfect time, he wasn't late a day, he sent forth his Son. And so we need to trust God in that. And to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And since we have the Spirit of his Son in our heart, we naturally say, Daddy, Father. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Now he says, verse 7, and this is where we start today. Wherefore, remember what I've told you about a wherefore or a therefore in your Bible? When you find it, it's a conclusion. Look before it. And you'll find the reasonings that have brought you down to this conclusion. Okay? Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Amen. Is there a difference between a servant and a son? Yes. Boy, I guarantee you there's a difference between a servant and a son. You be a servant someplace and work with a son, and you'll find out what the difference. It won't take you long to figure it out. Now, that son may be under you for a month or a year while his daddy's training him to business, you know. Then he goes and be under somebody else, and maybe for 5 or 6 years, he's no more than a servant, but it isn't going to be long. He's going to be running the whole thing. He's the son. You have been saved not just as servants, not just as slaves of God. God has made you sons. And because of the entrance, you know what happens to you when you get saved? The Holy Spirit comes in. Who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ. God. God comes into your heart and you become a son of God. Not just a servant that's been forgiven. Not just a slave that's been saved to work. And you can do all those things, but sons work too. Not just servants work. Sons work too. And they sometimes, I've seen people, I've known quite a few people that owned their own business, had good businesses. You know what they do? They work harder than most of their employees. You know that? They really do. I mean, they don't say, well, 8 hours, it's time to punch the clock. Ooh, I'm heading off out of here. No, no, no. The job's got to be done. I mean, I've got to finish this job. If we got to stay here all night, I'm going to finish this job. I see some guys that have their own business. You say, oh, I'd like to have my own business. When I have to work for anybody else. You work a whole lot harder. Work a whole lot harder. In my experience, what I've seen. So, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Wow, what a privilege. You know, I was never ashamed of my daddy. Now, my daddy was a country man. He was a farmer till he was 38 years old. And the Depression just broke him, wiped him out. He came here at the beginning of World War II and got a job at Kelly Field and finally got himself out of the hole. But he didn't have a college degree. He didn't feel like he could fit in the city churches and places like that. And you can tell the way I talk, I'm a hick. You know, I got a master's degree in English, but I'm a hick. You know, you doesn't matter what you do, you don't change the patterns of your speech very much. Well, I got that from him. I talk a whole lot like he talked and my mother talked. I never was ashamed of my dad. I wasn't ashamed of our house. We didn't have the richest house. We were poor people. We grew up poor people on the south side of this town. I never remember being ashamed of him. But I tell you what, I've got a good dad. I had a good dad physically. Now, some of you can't say that, but I did. I had a real good man for a dad. But you know, I've got a heavenly father that's my dad. Amen. God Almighty is my dad. Doesn't matter what kind of dad you might have had before. If you've been born again, you've accepted Christ, you've been indwelt by the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of Christ is in you and you're a son of God. Amen. You're not just a servant, you're an exalted son. Now you know, that ought to make you want to have a good testimony. Yeah, not just enough being a servant or an employee at some place. Sure, what you do reflects on your company. Sometimes you walk into a store and some smart aleck little old girl there just treats you like you're a piece of dirt and like she's the Queen of England. And you want to just put her over your knee and spank her real good and teach her to do a little better, but they wouldn't let you do that. And if you went to the boss, he might fire her. Why? Because even as a servant, she's a reflection of that company and its reputation. But oh, how much more the sons. You're a son of God? Right. Ladies, you're a son of God? You ought to watch how you dress. Amen. I'm sorry. We can preach on it over and over again, but you don't get the message. I don't think this modern world understands modesty at all. Everybody wants to dress like Hollywood. That's not the way you're supposed to dress. Amen. Boys and girls, all of you alike. What kind of a testimony are you? You are a son of God. Son of God. You ought to be careful how you walk and talk and act and dress and think and speak because you're a reflection upon God Almighty. And you can run away and hide if you want to, but won't do you any good. You're still a son of God. The devil knows who you are. You remember those bunch of Jews decided they were going to do what Paul did. Well, Paul could call over a bunch of devils in the name of Jesus and cast them out. So these seven brothers decided they're going to get all that power. And they went up to this old boy filled with the devil and said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And they said, Jesus I know. Paul I know. Who are you? Jumped all over, just whipped the whole bunch of them. Sent them flying. You know what? The devil knows who you belong to. Don't let him steal your testimony. Don't let him ruin your testimony. Don't let him hurt your father because of your actions. He said, you're no more a servant, but a son. Now, let me carry this a step further as Paul carries it here. And if a son, then an heir. Amen. The servant doesn't inherit. I haven't heard lately, well, I take it back. There was a car company here that made itself a sort of a, I don't know what you call it, but where the employees own the company. And so they sold it out to the employees, the owner did, or a great portion of it. And so they're owners and workers. But in general, just because you work at the place, if the old man dies, doesn't mean you get a thing. But what about the son? He inherits. He inherits. When my daddy died, of course, my mother inherited the farm that was left. And when my mother died, my sister and I inherited. It wasn't but 25 acres, but it had the Lampasas River running right through it. Mighty nice place. Had 300 bearing pecan trees. Some of them so big, me and Jim Campbell and another man couldn't reach around one of them. That's how big they were. They're hundreds of years old. I don't know how long pecans live, but they are huge in that river bottom. You know, that's an inheritance. But let me tell you what. You got a bigger inheritance than that. Do you know where your father lives? It's a place called heaven. Amen. Do you know what they do? If you read over in Revelation, the last three chapters of Revelation, you find out about heaven. It's a place where God's going to live with his people. Let me tell you what. It is so rich, absolutely so rich, they pave the streets with gold. I mean, they don't use gravel and macadam and other stuff like it. No, they pave the streets with gold. And the gold's so pure, you can look through it. It's like glass. I mean, it's got 12 gates. This is a city 1,500 miles long, wide, and high. You think there's a room in there for you? If we gave you a 3,000-square-foot apartment, how many Christians do you think he can fit in up there? A whole bunch. He's got room, and he's still building it. By the way, he started building it about 2,000 years ago. He's still building it. He said, I'm going away to build a place for you. I guess it's not ready yet. He hadn't come back, and he's still building. And I'll tell you what, you see what he did in 6 days. Amen. Imagine what heaven's going to be like. Right. Turn your imagination loose a little bit. You're a son, and if a son, an heir. Wow. You got a privilege.
Amen.
You're not just a member of some cult or some religion or some superstition. You're a son and an heir of God Almighty. You have an exalted position. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. What all did you serve before you really got saved? Some of you served the gods of sex, the gods of wealth. You worshiped paper, wood, stone, and flesh. You worshiped a whole lot of things. Some of you were very religious, and oh, you worshiped yourself. You said, oh, I'm so good, I'm so good, I'm so good. I've talked to a lot of people like that. Sometimes it's sort of hard to get them to believe they're a sinner. Isn't that a shame? It really is, because you see, you're never going to get saved until you know you need to be saved. And some good people, really nice, sweet, good people, they haven't been out drinking and carousing. They haven't been out committing adultery and fornication. They haven't been out gambling and on drugs. And so they sit back and say, I'm a good person. And under the normal working of religion in the world, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. They consider themselves good. They don't think they need a Savior. I've knocked on doors right here in this neighborhood. And when I give the gospel, oh, no, 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 you need to go. About two doors down, there's a man there who really needs your help. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address.
Right.
D.L. Moody said that 100 years ago. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. He was right then. It's still right now. Everybody needs the gospel.
Right.
I think it's Brent Riggs. He was out knocking on doors one time when he was here with me. And this fellow said, I am a preacher in the Baptist church. He said, well, you still need to get saved. God can save Baptist preachers too. And that old boy was all hot and bothered, and he called me up. He got my telephone number and called me. This is Brent Riggs, a part of your church. Yes, he is. He told me what he said. What are you going to do about it? I said, well, I'm going to congratulate him because he's doing exactly what I taught him to do. Everybody needs to be saved, and you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Now, I don't know what you served when you were lost. Even if it was religion, how does it compare to your salvation? I tell you what, once I got the picture of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary, I could never go back. Never. Go back into religion. Go back into mumbling things and counting beads and incense and smoke and getting on your knees and lifting up your hands and shouting this and doing this. That do any good to you? Fasting, feasting, partying, That do any good to you? Never helped me at all. Never forgave me one sin. Never brought me one bit closer to God. You want to go back? That's what these Galatians had done. They'd gone back. Paul had gone in there and preached the gospel to them. And probably, as his custom was, if there was a Jewish synagogue anywhere around, he preached there first. He went into the synagogue and he took these Jews who knew the scriptures and he preached Christ to them from those scriptures. And those that he won, he pulled them out and formed a church, and then many times Gentiles came on into it. Well, you got a church here that has received Christ, and now then some guys from Jerusalem that have come and said, oh no, Paul's all wrong. You have to be a Jew and then believe. Or you have to do all the Jewish things and then Christ too to be saved. You can't be saved just by Christ alone. And Paul is saying, what in the world is the matter with you? Have I bestowed labor on you in vain? Have I wasted my time? What did you see? You saw Christ crucified among you. You saw Christ paid your debt, completely paid your debt. Have you ever thought what Christ did? He didn't just pay for all the things that I've done in the past. He paid for all the things I was going to do in the future.
Amen.
And he did it 1900 years before I was born. Everything. Complete transformation. Christ gets all my sin. Even my sin nature. And all the little individual sins that I did. Every cuss word I ever said. Every time I ever blasphemed God. Every time I ever lusted. Every time I ever hated. He took it all.
Amen.
And he dressed me up in his righteousness.
Amen.
He clothed me in his righteousness, and he, by the Holy Spirit, came into my spirit, made me alive, and made me a son of God and an heir of God by him living inside of me.
Amen.
Now then, somebody comes along and says, oh, that's not good enough. You need to keep the feasts. You need to celebrate the days. You need to watch and count. You have to do all of these different things, these religious things, or you can't be saved. No! The whole book of Galatians is written to abuse this idea. No. You don't want to go back to that. He calls them weak and beggarly elements. That's what they are. Now, if you are living in some bush country in the Amazon, and you've been raised up to think that if I put chicken blood on the corner of this mountain right here, it'll appease the devil. Now you come along and get saved. Do you still need to go put the chicken blood on the corner of the mountain to appease the devil? No. Well, by the same token, my friend, your religion you had before you got saved didn't do you one bit of good then. Going back to your religion, even if it's the Jewish religion, and performing the Jewish rites and the Jewish ceremonies, and the Jewish feasts, and the Jewish fasts, and keeping the days and the times and the hours, not going to do you any good either. Either it's Christ pays for your sins, or it's you pay for them. Now, if you want to go the way of you paying for it, have at it. You know what I'm convinced? I've been doing this 50 years. I'm 70 years old. I've been saved just about 50 years. I never could have made it the other way. And I haven't met anybody yet. I've met some pretty good people. I've been taken out to eat by some really nice people. I've been invited over the house by some really nice people. I've got some friends now. Man, they're good people. But I haven't met one yet that through his or her religion can even cover one fingernail of their sin. One day of their sin. Even some of you that are so self-righteous. Oh, I'm good. I don't ever do anything wrong. Oh, you big old fat liar gossiper. You know good and well you do wrong. I can't even preach without doing wrong. I mean, while I'm witnessing to people, I can do wrong. I can see my own spirit, and I've got a bad spirit even when I'm dealing with somebody for God with the Spirit of God on me. And you think you don't do wrong and you... No, come on. Wake up. That's what he's trying to tell the Galatians here. Wake up! These weak and beggarly elements of religion and the world never did you any good, never paid for your sin, and can't do it now. Once you come to Christ, why would you ever go back?
Amen.
Well, you have to be confused. If that's your case, somebody pulled the wool over your eyes.
Right.
Somebody slipped it to you gently, and you weren't grounded enough in your doctrine, and that's what got you off. So that's what he's trying to do here. Howbeit, when ye knew not God, verse 8, ye did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. Before I knew God, I did a lot of things. I remember a TV show, and this detective gets saved by, look like a miraculous event. He says, boy, next time I see a holy man, I'm going to drop $5 on him. That's what you think your salvation's worth, $5. Is that all you're worth? That's what you think about giving to God, don't you? Some of you just stingy guts. Face it. Hey, you're just a stingy gut. Good night. You're not worth any more than $5. I've laughed about that for years. That old boy said, oh man, boy, whew, I was saved. Next time I see a holy man, I'm going to drop $5 on him. That's all you're worth. Man, you ought to drop $5,000 on him or $20,000 on him. Is that the way you think? Ah, listen, let me tell you what God did. He did something so great you could never pay for it. If you gave him everything you had, you couldn't pay for it. Remember the widow woman? Jesus is over there watching how people gave into the treasury. He's watching. He knew what they were giving. A bunch of rich men dropped a bunch of gold and silver into that box. You hear a clatter coming down there. Oh my, isn't he generous? Isn't he generous? A little old widow woman came up there and dropped 2 mites. Probably wouldn't make a penny today, but that's all she had. She didn't have $20 still in her pocket to go out for lunch. She didn't have any money back there to go back and pay her bills. She was destitute, and she went and dropped all that she had. And he said she gave more. What do you value your salvation? Have you thought about it? You know what I think? What I thought when I got saved? It was worth the rest of my life. It's worth everything I have. It's worth every day the rest of the day I live. That was 50 years ago. I still believe it's worth everything I can give. Ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. What good is it to go back to things which are no gods? No good. And especially to you who have the gospel preached to you, who have the clarity of the word of God. What is it to you to go back into the weak and beggarly elements of the world? No, 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 no. Once you get the clear picture. You know, once I saw the name of Jesus, I could never call myself denominational name again. Once I saw it. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give me thanks to God and the Father I am. That verse broke me. Cost me a lot of places to preach. Cost me a lot of money, month by month. Cost me some friends. But you know what? It's the word of God. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I'm happy about it. But once I saw it, how could I ever go back? I remember I went to a mission conference and I was listening to a renowned preacher preach. And he mentioned the name of his denomination 45 times in that one sermon and the name of Jesus 3 times. I was counting. Why? Because I'd seen it. I'll bet you there wasn't hardly anybody else in the congregation even thought about it. It didn't even dawn on them. This is a great preacher. He preached a good sermon. But I began to hear that denominational name over and over and over and over and over again. And I said, where's Jesus? God called me to preach Jesus. Amen. You want to go back to weak and beggarly things? Go ahead. I can't. I've seen something better. Amen. Look at verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Now, that's a tremendous verse. Amen. Now, I do know God. You know something? I know President Bush. He's from Texas, by the way, you know? I mean, he used to be governor of Texas, 2 terms. I mean, he got the gun law down here in Texas, you know. Bunch of stuff. Hey, I know Bush. Old George, we're close. We're like that. I can say I know Bush, and I voted for him 4 times. But he doesn't know me. I can walk up and say, Brother George, I'd sure like to take you out to eat today, or could I come eat with you today? He'd say, I don't know you. Who are you? Did you read this verse? Look at it again. Verse 9. But now, after that you've known God, okay, that's us, we know God, or rather, better said, are known of God. Amen. Oh, what a difference that makes. What if the Honorable George Bush said, I'd like to see Lyndall Kincaid. He's an old buddy from high school days.
Wow.
I'm known of the president. How about God knowing your name? How about God said, that's my son. That's my boy. You want to go back off of that? You want to go back to the servant stage? You want to go back to the slave stage? You want to go back to the religion stage after you are known of God? Are you saved here today?
Amen. Amen.
If you're saved, then you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're a son and an heir. And not only can you say, I know God, and when you say that, people around you might say, yeah, maybe so, maybe no. But the Bible says God knows you.
Amen.
Boy, what a difference.
Amen.
And you want to go back off of that? You want to backtrack and go back into the world, back into religion, back into doing superstitious things, and a whole lot of religion is superstitious, even if it's Christian religion. You want to go back into those things? No, 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 no. I've been indwelt by the Spirit of God and I got the Word of God in my hands. Am I going back to that? That's what the Galatians had done. It's what a lot of people have done in our day to day. This book is very up to date. We ought to teach it every couple of years anyway. Just because of all of the religion that teaches all the work to be saved. Not even you. Maybe you're the best little girl in this room. You're just an old sinner that needs a Savior. Wake up. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage? You know what you've been done? You've been set free. Free from religion. Free from days and times and feasts and fasts and religion of all sorts. You've been set free to serve God by your Spirit. You've been set free from bondage. You know, religion can be a very great bondage. I've been down in Mexico during some holy days for the prominent religion there, which is Catholicism. And I have seen people walking on their knees for miles on the side of the road. I'm driving down the road and there's a procession. They've been coming for miles and they're going to someplace walking on their knees. Wow. I don't even like getting on my knees right now. Much less walking by the side of a road, a gravel road. That's bondage. That's bondage. You think about all these things you've got to do, and what if you don't do them? Well, there are churches right now that if you don't get baptized, by the way, praise the Lord if you don't get baptized, but baptism doesn't save anybody. Baptism is an obedience to salvation. But there are people who say, well, if you don't get baptized, you can't get saved. And if you are baptized, if you don't keep the Lord's Supper, you can't be saved. If you miss the Lord's Supper, well, you got to repent again. Start all over again. No, 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 my friend. You're either saved or you're not saved. Now, some of you may not remember the day of your birth. Do you know? I was born November 19th, 1936. Now, I don't remember it. I was told by my mother that was when I was born. I was there. I can tell you I've been born. You know how I know I've been born? I'm here. I know I'm born. By the way, some of you might not know the day of your salvation. Do you know you're alive? Do you know you're a son of God? It's time, date stuff. It's great. But you don't have to know the time and the date. You just got to know that you're alive.
Amen.
Got to know that you believe, that you've been indwelt by the Spirit of God. There's all sorts of idiots out there preaching. I had a cousin that was a deacon. He was one time going on about these idiot preachers he'd had to deal with. And I was saying, yeah, I had to hit it with a lot of idiot deacons. Just because they were businessmen, they made them deacons, didn't have a spiritual bone in their body, and you had to fight them every step of the way. There's a lot of idiots out there, preachers and deacons. You understand me? Everybody, just because they're religious, doesn't make them smart, doesn't make them spiritual. And so there's a lot of foolishness that goes in the name of religion, and people follow it, are in bondage to it. Well, we've got to do this. Did you know that in this town right here, Protestant, Catholic, any kind of church you want to say, Easter and Christmas, you'll get a bigger crowd than any other time. Now, why is that? All these people who don't ever go to church think they got to go at Christmas time, Christ Mass time. Excuse me. Christ just died one time.
That's right.
He never to be repeated.
Amen.
And Easter, have you ever figured out what the resurrection of Christ and bunny rabbits and chicken eggs have to do with each other? It's bondage. It's the bondage of religion. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Somebody asked me one day, I was in school and I was a teacher, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and I didn't have anything green on. I said, "You're Irish, aren't you?" "Yeah, I got Irish blood in me." "And where's your green?" I said, "I'm not a Catholic. I don't celebrate, you know, St. Patrick's Day. He might have been a great guy. I don't have an idea. He probably was a great guy. But, I don't celebrate his day. I celebrate Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And I do that every Sunday. And in fact, I do it every day. Wouldn't even have to be a Sunday. Could I worship God on a Saturday? Of course I could. Could I worship God on a Wednesday? Bet your bottom dollar. Could I worship God on Monday? Yeah. I don't have to. I'm not under bondage of the stupid religion and all the customs and superstitions that have come down. You better examine some of the things you're afraid of. You better examine some of the things that move you. You say, "Well, I've got to do this. I've got to do that." Oh, boy, it's Christmas time. I better go to church. Once a year anyway. My wife had an uncle. He used to make a lot of fun of me as a preacher. His greatest pleasure was that any time we had a family gathering was to get me around and tell a dirty joke in front of everybody in front of me. I didn't exactly like those meetings. They were not really a lot of fun for me. But now I forgot the story I was going to tell. But at any rate, I know what it was. He said, "You and Verlene and Shirley and Johnny, y'all are such great sinners, you have to go to church 3 times a week. He said, "I'm good enough, about once a year takes care of me." Now that's the understanding of the world. You know why I'm here 3 times a week? Because the church meets 3 times a week. If we met 4 times, I'd be here 4 times. If we met 2 times, I'd be here 2 times. I'm with the church. And I've been born again. I'm a son of God. This is my spiritual family. I've got a commitment to them. Now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God. Now let me ask you this. Do you know God? Are you known of God? Are you a son and an heir of Jesus Christ by being born again? Simple faith, believing the message God gave of his son. Then why, how can you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Why would you put the religion cloak back over the top of you? Why would you bring religious laws and bring them back over the top of you if you've been set free by the Spirit of God? You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You need to think real clearly who you are and what got you where you are. And if you got that way by religion, you just go serve your religion. I didn't. I got that way by faith. When Jesus Christ said, "If you believe in me and call upon me, I'll forgive your sins, save your soul, change your life." And he did it. I had religion 10 years before I got salvation. And when I got salvation, gradually I've gone further and further away from religion. Every time I look at it, compare it, have anything to do with it, I get further and further away from anything religious.
That's right. Amen.
I believe the Bible. I believe in Christ. You may say, "Oh, you're a very religious man." Well, in some people's ideas, they may think I am. But let me tell you what. I am tied to Jesus Christ. I'm not tied to any religion. I'm tied to Jesus Christ in this book right here. It changed my life. And so, am I going to celebrate Christmas? Am I going to worry about a new year? Am I going to worry about Halloween? Am I going to worry about Easter? No, you know what I celebrate? I celebrate Thanksgiving. Because I believe, as a born-again Christian, I should be thankful all the time. I think it's the greatest holiday we have in the year, Thanksgiving. I celebrate Thanksgiving. You want to go back to the weak and beggarly elements? You want to be in bondage? No, I am free. God has set me free from sin and free from religion that I might serve him. Not free that I might run back into the world. Not free that I might live any way I want to live. Free to serve him is what I've been set free. Now look what he says about you, or the Galatians, and some of you. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. Oh, goodness. We better serve this or we'll lose salvation. We better have this meeting or we'll lose salvation. Or we better do this or we can't be saved. We better do this. I don't like men with long hair. Can you tell? Hair isn't a big thing with me. But
It doesn't matter how you wear your hair. You can come in here with a ponytail hanging down to your belt and be a man. And I might walk by and say, you're sure an ugly man. Or you're the ugliest looking girl I've seen. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. And though, boy, sometimes some of the things people wear just really, I bite my tongue. You don't know how often I bite my tongue. Are you a Christian? Well, look like it.
Amen.
Act like it. Talk like it. Dress like it. Cut your hair like it. If you're really a Christian, you'd cut your hair like mine. No, if I had hair, I'd probably glory in it too. But I don't have any, so I don't worry about it. And by the way, you know how long it takes me to comb my hair in the morning? It's done for all day long. You observe days and months and times and years and all of these things to please God. When God is a spirit, and the only way you can please God is in spirit and in truth. When God who saved you has made you his son, and you please him as a son would please the father. Not as a slave in bondage would obey a superstitious act or a time or a season or a day. There's some people that Saturday is the most important day. Friday night to Saturday night. Jews worship on that day. That's the Sabbath. This is not the Sabbath. This is the first day of the week. Sunday. The Sabbath is Saturday. Now, I've known Christians that believe they have to worship on Saturday or they're not pleasing God. Well, now, listen to me. You worship God every day of your life. You lift your spirit to God, and it doesn't matter what kind of clothes you have on or cloaks you have on or position your body's in or how long your hair is or how long your shirt is.
Right.
Has nothing to do with it. It's a spiritual thing. And you are a spiritual being, and you have a spiritual father. Don't go back to things of this earth, rocks and cloth and money and things. Sure, use any of them for the glory of God you can. That's fine. We all need money. We all need clothes. Sure, it'd be awful if all of us didn't have clothes, wouldn't it? You'd be an ugly bunch. He said, I'm afraid of you. I am afraid of you. Lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Doggone, I'm telling you, it's a shame I preached the gospel to you and you haven't heard me. Don't you remember what you got when I came there and I preached to you and you got saved and you got saved from your religion, not through your religion.
Right.
You got saved from religion, from bondage, from the weak and beggarly elements of this world. You got saved by the Spirit of God to a spiritual God.
Amen.
I'm afraid of you. Stowed upon you labor in vain. Wasted my time. That's what he's saying to them. I've been preaching a long time, and I've tried to teach all the counsel of God. Every once in a while, somebody will come in, they'll preach a message on something, and they say, boy, it's the first time I ever heard that. And I thought, oh, okay. I better go look at those notes. See if I did that right or not. Good night. They must have missed that one. Never heard that before. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Look at verse 12. Brethren, I beseech you. Paul is writing these brothers from a distance, and he's heard some bad reports. These people who come, a bunch of law keepers. These people who come, a bunch of religious keepers. They've forgotten what you taught them about the gospel. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. Be as I am. What's Paul telling them? Trust Christ and Christ alone. You realize in Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives you an account of his legacy, his heritage, his religious background and accomplishments. Does anybody have any more right to glory in his own religion than Paul? Man, what a list. Why, man, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was born in the nation of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, persecuting the church, zealous, keeping the law, blameless.
And all of that I count dung. What did Paul count his religions? All his religion? Dung. You know what dung is? You've been out on the farm. You got to walk around to keep from getting your boots in the dung. Do you understand? Do you understand what your religion's worth in the eyes of Paul? Dung. That I might win Christ. Man, once he saw what Christ did, this is just dung. Most of the religious people of the world are living for this. They're farm of it today, wherever they might be. They're going to church, they're doing these things, they're doing all sorts of stuff in order to please God and maybe make God be happy with them. Maybe God might eventually save them in the end. And Paul said, man, I've been saved. I've been dressed in the righteousness of Christ. All of my righteousness is nothing. It's dumb. Be as I am. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as ye are. I'm like you. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Evidently, Paul was physically weak or sick when he was preaching in Galatia. Some believe that he had eye problems because he said, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Could you have? They just loved him. But when he's preaching to them, he has physical infirmities. He's not a whole man at the time. You ever been sick? Everybody's been sick. Man, when you're sick, how strong are you? I know you big, strong, strapping thing right now. Get you sick, you're weak as water. I don't care how strong you are. Just get a little sick. Get a pain in your big toe and see how it slows you down. Just your toe. How about getting in trouble with your eyes? I'm going to be in trouble because I don't remember all the verses I memorized and I don't remember all of them that I preached. And if my eyes go, I'm going to have a hard time preaching to you. Well, Paul's eyes were bad, looks like, while he's in Galatia. And he says, brethren, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What a blessing. When he came and preached there, they not only received him as an angel of God, they received him like they had the Lord there themselves. He said, now what's happened? What happened? You forgot all that? Let me tell you what. You owe something to the person that preached the gospel to you. Amen. Somebody led you to the Lord, you ought to say thank you. Amen. Somebody taught you the word of God. Somebody brought you out of darkness into light. Oh, yeah, you need to thank Jesus. Oh, yes, you need to thank the Holy Spirit. Yes, you need to be loving God. But, boy, the person that did that to you. You know, I've had that happen to me. I was at the house one day. Somebody rang the doorbell back when I lived over close to the airport. There was a guy I probably hadn't seen in 20 years. He knocked on the door, and I didn't recognize him at first. He said, you led me to the Lord 20 years ago. I was coming through town. Thought I ought to take the time to look you up and say, thank you. Said, I'm still saved. I'm still serving the Lord. I travel all over the country in my job. But said, I tithe in some church wherever I'm at. Said, I go to church wherever I work. Just want to tell you thank you for leading me to the Lord. Well, time's up.